So good to see you from this level. I don't ever get to watch you from this level. So glad that you're here. We've got a few people out. Robbie said Stephanie was ill, and Larry said Karen was ill this morning. So you pray for these guys. Got a few others out. I'm not sure why, but pray for these guys, and I'm glad that you're here. My apologies for having to do this today. Kind of crept up on me, so we'll get through this deal. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is where we are today. Now, we all know this to be the love chapter. The love chapter. I'm a 70s kid, and I remember all those pop songs of the 70s, those love songs. You remember some of them? Well, I was a 70s kid. Now, some of you may think I still am, but I didn't sound right. I was and I am a 70s kid, and so what's in my brain when I think about love songs or some of those old songs that I heard back then? My bus driver in junior high had a boombox and played these songs, and so songs like Chicago's You're a Hard Habit to Break, you remember that song? Air Supply, Girl, You're Every Woman in the World to Me, you remember that? Huh? Yeah, and most all of it was about love songs, you know. And then one that I heard all the time was by Barry Manilow, which was I Can't Smile Without You. You remember that song? I always thought that was sort of corny. I mean, give me a break. Get a life, you know. But we understand those songs because that's how we think. That's human love. That's not this in 1 Corinthians 13. Human love has got some wonderful, wonderful things to it. You know that. Most of you have experienced a great deal of that. And it's wonderful in its own light. But it is limited. It is limited because we're human. 1 Corinthians 13 is not about that. It's about a word, the Greek word, like Brother Chris always says, I don't know Greek, but I read after people who do. 1 Corinthians is about a Greek word called agape. And it's hard to describe agape because it is the kind of love that God has. Now, the problem with that definition is we don't know all about God, do we? It's our world. You know, we can read God's word and find so much about God's love, but we don't know everything about it. And so 1 Corinthians 13 is about agape, the type of love that is most representative of God's love. And before we read those 13 verses, I want you to remember this. Because it is God's love, we can't get there 100%. We're going to come across some traits here in just a minute, some characteristics and trait that you and I should be like because we're God's child, but we can't get there 100% because we got this right up here and we got this flesh right here, and it can get messed up at times, can't it? Yeah, it can. Let's read those 13 verses in 1 Corinthians 13. Somebody told me one time a few years ago that they asked me, why do you read your Sunday school verses so slowly? Well, I am slow, and it means more to me if I... This is one of those chapters that's got to be read slow, Patsy. You got to think about it. You know, you just got to absorb it. Verse number one. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, we're not going to interrupt each verse, but I will this one because the translators used the word charity. Charity is love. The Greek word from this is agape. So we don't use charity a whole lot, but that's what this is. It's love. So what I'm going to do, I was thinking this week how I would do this. I'm going to use it about half and half, because the scripture word is charity, but we know what it's all about. It's about God's love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. It doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Your shoe's getting a little tight right about now. This is a very, very heavy set of requirements. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. You will not find a definition for love or charity in this chapter. What you will find are a whole lot of descriptions about God's love and about what we should attain to. I'm like you. You break any of these characteristics apart, and I'm there on this particular characteristic, 50%. The next one, I might be 75%. You're the same way. We're talking about the type of love that God has, and we're just not there 100%. If you don't remember anything else, remember that. Chapter 13 is about what you and I, as God's sons and daughters, should attain to. And it's nothing like that human, romantical, fanciful, warm love that we know, that we're so good at. Well, some of us. I'm from an area that is in the northern part of East Tennessee. When you're talking about describing God's love, there's some things in life that you just can't describe very well. I remember, even as a little boy, looking out across the landscape up in those mountains and seeing all the immensely tall trees and the beautiful lakes and the rivers and the creeks, the greenery. And even as a boy, from the very first day I saw it until the time I left, But if you had asked me during that time, or really even if you asked me today, I would have trouble putting that into words. That's the way God's love is. You can describe it some. Chapter 13 does a great job. You can study it a little bit. You can know how God's loved and reacted to people as you read the Bible from cover to cover. It's hard to define. We just have a little glimpse of God's love. There are three words in the Greek New Testament which are translated by that one word, love. The first one is eros. It's a word that means passion. It's the word that means lust. It was used during that time the most, speaking about their gods that they served, and there was Aphrodite, there was Eros, there was Venus and Cupid, and all of this was a passionate or a very human type love. We would think of it today as really just sex. That's the first one that's used in the New Testament. The second one is phileo. We get from that word Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. It means brotherly love. A philanthropist is somebody that uses his or her money for mankind, for the good of mankind. It means human love. And family love is probably the highest level of phileo. There's a lot of good in phileo love. After all, that's really all we know outside of inspiration and the Holy Spirit giving us the power to have agape love. And then, of course, the third one is agape. It means divine love. It's more than just love in emotion or love in passion. It's love in the will. Will means you decide to love somebody. You decide that you give them your care. It is love that chooses an object. It's the definition for God. The scriptures say that God is love. And so in these 13 short verses, in the first three verses, we see the value of agape. In verses 4 through 7, we see the virtue or the characteristic of agape. And then in the last five verses, we see the permanence of agape. Paul has been talking to these people who cannot get along. You remember, first 12 chapters? Messed up people. They're God's people. They're Christians. They're in the church. And Paul even admits in chapter 1 that they have some very good doctrine. They have some good teaching. And he praises them for a few things, if you'll remember that's what he said. In fact, he worded it this way. For this I praise you not, but for this I praise you. So they had some good things going on, a lot of bad things going on. And what he tries to show us here is that the gifts that those people had in the church of Corinth, not the abilities like we've been talking about, not the natural skill that all people have, some skill or some natural talent, some ability, we're not talking about that. We're talking about what God gives a person in service, to take your mind back to the last chapter. There was some of that in the Corinthian church. They had some gifts that were being used. They had some counterfeit gifts too, like speaking in tongues and other things. But what he tries to help them see is the big problem behind all of those little problems in Corinth, in that church, was the lack of agape. That he takes them back to this point. In fact, look with me, if you will, in the very last verse of chapter 12. He's talking about all these spiritual gifts. He says in verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, not the most showy gifts, but the gifts that honor the Lord, that give God's people encouragement, that are good for the church. Covet earnestly the best gifts. And he says, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. He throws us off on a new road here. We turn a sharp right into chapter 13. And the best way is not just having the gift that the Holy Spirit gives you, but the best way is to get along, to love each other. That's what chapter 13 is all about. It is doing this more excellent way so all of our gifts can be used in the church. So all of our gifts can be used to witness, share the gospel with others. Now, this chapter is it's conceptual. It's hypothetical. Paul gives us a whole bunch of hypotheses here, like moving mountains, speaking with the kind of tongues that was used in the book of Acts. That's over. There's no more gift in that. We don't need that anymore. He says in verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Now, you know the tongues of men were actual languages. And then when the actual languages were revealed, that was something that was given to the church to authenticate the message of the apostles and of Jesus. The world needed that at that time. We have today the written word. And the written word, along with God's Holy Spirit, the written word teaches us what we need to know. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. What is that? Now, with the fact that the Apostle Paul, you remember he was taken up into the third heaven in 2 Corinthians, I think. Paul had a little glimpse into life that you and I don't have. He was taken up into the third heaven, and he doesn't give us a list of all the things that he saw and didn't see, or hear and didn't hear. So I'm looking at this first phrase right here, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Now, I've personally never heard an angel talk. Have you? He might have. But he's in a hypothetical state, and he said, look, though I could speak with tongues, if I had that ability to teach or speak in all languages, and if though I could speak the language of the angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now we'll see this at another point in just a minute, but history tells us, historians, Bible historians tell us that one of the problems in the Corinthian church was that God's people were bringing what was on the outside into the inside. In Corinth, there was a great belief on the outside in idols. And idol worship, a part of idol worship was noisy music. I was trying to think of a word. Loud cymbals being played. A cacophony of sounds. Gongs. I think of those big bass drums that you see, you know, boing, 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 boing. And so Paul is simply saying, he's relating to something that he's already said. What did he say? I think it was in 8 or 9 or maybe 10. What did Paul say about those idols that the Corinthian people, not the church members, but the Corinthian people worshipped? He said, they were nothing. Don't worry about them and the meat that was given to their worship, because they're nothing. And that's where we took the fact that there's a lot of nothing in our lives today that are weighing us down. Not wrong, not right, nothing. There's nothing there. Here, I think he's making a little bridge to a thought. He's helping us see that though I could speak with the tongues of men, the languages of men, and the angels speak, however they speak, that would be a wonderful thing if I could do that. But if I didn't have charity, I'd become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. I'd become as nothing. Because it didn't have charity. This love that God has, I want to read you some verses. And while I'm reading them, you think about how capable you are. As I've done this week, I've read these verses, and I've had to ask myself, are you like this? Is your love like this? Very simple verses. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Could you have done that? I've been tough. Mark 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. I'm out already. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. Have I lost you yet? Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Agape. That's God's love. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So, although we don't naturally have this agape love, he's asking us to be as much like that as possible. That's tough. That's tough. John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto his Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. To the end. I wonder if we took the time to check on the marriages of all those songwriters and bands that I back in the 70s, if their love for their spouse or for their family was to the end. Do you think it would be? Not a lot of them. Maybe some. The type of agape love, don't quit. It just doesn't quit. It doesn't stop. It goes to the end, and that's hard to do. John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So although we're not agape natural, our lives should be trying to attain to agape love, trying to be like Jesus, trying to have the love, the type of love that God has and that God is. It should be our goal. John 15, verse 9 says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, continue in my love. Romans 5:10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall all be saved by his life. When we were enemies, he loved us. I don't know if that's easy or hard for you, but that's incredibly difficult for me. My problem is politics. Brother Chris mentioned this probably 2 or 3 months ago in some message, probably on a Wednesday night or something. But the division in this country is becoming so great. I mean, honestly, there's such a huge divide between these two sides. They're nothing alike anymore. What you and I have to watch is very easily a hatred. Hatred. Remember me telling you about my incident in the truck 2 or 3 months ago? And Alexa, that was in that truck when I bought it, and I never turned it off, Alexa heard me say something, and what I was reacting to was an idiotic thing that had just happened by the other side. And I think God used Alexa to help me start thinking better. Because after I said it, the volume of my voice woke her up, and she said, "What was it that you said?" And right when she said that, I agreed, yeah, I'm a child of God. I shouldn't be thinking that way. Politics can drive us apart and make us have the type of hatred for people that we just shouldn't have. That's tough. Listen to this. This word agape, now although it's all throughout the New Testament, it was not used much at all in New Testament times. Because it was so odd. People did not understand it because it did. They could not feel it. And so he continues in verse 2 and he says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing." Now, everything that he just said in verse 2 were things that he alluded to in chapter 12, or the last chapter. The gift of prophecy, that's the gift of teaching, that's the gift of breaking down truth so that God's people can understand it. Though I have that gift, and though I understand all mysteries, remember this is hypothetical. Not one human being is going to have all of this. That would be an amazing person if we could find that person. He says, if I could have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains. Now that means that person with a strong faith. That's a word picture, to remove all mountains. There would be, you know, I don't think Paul is telling us that we could have the faith to look over at that mountain that's far away, look over to that mountain and have the faith that it's going to move. No, what it means is have faith that God can do whatever he needs to do. Have the faith that he can do it in our life. But you could have all of that and have not agape. I am nothing. Remember, church members in Corinth had a lot going for them, but what they didn't have was worse than what they had. They didn't have agape. And apparently, many of them were not even trying to have it. He says in verse 3, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." Now the practice of the Romans burning Christians at the stake didn't begin until many years later. But this is such a concept that everybody understands to be an extremely horrible death. And so Paul says there in the middle part of that verse, though that would happen to me, and though in the first part of the verse, I would bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Now, both of those things seem pretty committed to me. Committed to your faith enough to be burned at the stake for it. Committed in your faith to where you would give all your goods to feed the poor. Anybody done that lately? That's tough. That's not... He says, though I could do both of those things and have what I'm about to describe to you, which is agape love, but yet I don't have charity, it profiteth me nothing. Agape is an act of the will. Like I said, God chose us. If we have the type of love that God has, if we have the type of love that God has, then we will choose to give it. We will choose to have it to the best of our abilities. And And like I said to begin with, it won't be 100% because we can't get there. Now, I have known some people in my life, in my past and in my present, that I would assume that they would have a very high amount of agape. I'm not on the list. I'm not on the list because when I look into these verses, I see all that I don't have. In verse 1, he involved the heart. Read it again. As soon as I can get my papers unstuck here. Verse 1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That's matters of the heart. Verse number 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Those are things of the mind. Prophecy, teaching, understanding things, having knowledge. Those are things of the mind. Verse 1 was of the heart. Verse 2 was of the mind. And verse 3 is of the will. I will give all my goods to feed the poor. I will be burned at the stake for my faith. Those are things that we decide to do. And yet none of them are worth anything without what? Love. Agape. Love. I want you to picture in your mind something before we close. I read this in a commentary and it stuck with me. So I'm sorry that you get stuck with the things that bless my heart, but this is one of them. Imagine this in your mind. This is a currency right now. This is money, okay? 6 zeros. I don't even know what that would be. It'd be $0,000, I guess. Zero. I don't know. But, Georgina, I'm going to write a check for you. And it's going to be composed of 6 zeros. You excited? Now distinguish that between a check with 6 zeros, but a 1 placed in front. You're looking at it a little different now, aren't you? I want you to picture with me in your mind the ability to teach, to sing, serve, to love, to make a difference in people's heart, to move mountains. Picture all of that. Isn't that wonderful? It really is wonderful. Without love, it is 6 zeros. It's nothing. Not just love, agape love. When we go through each of these little, they're phrases composed of 4 or 5 words, a number of them, in these verses, when we go through them, each of those are critical to making our service valuable. They are nothing, although they seem to be something on the outside, and that's what we have. Our eyes look at things on the outside. That's the only thing we have. But we got to know all the areas of service that we can think about or that we can think to do are nothing. 6 zeros. Without love. You put agape along with each of those, totally different story. It's a service of great value. It's a love or an ability of great value. The church members at Corinth, they didn't have the one in front of their 6 zeros. Paul said over and over, 4 or 5 times in those verses, you got a few things that are okay. And in each of those chapters, he lists what was the big problem. And now in chapter 12, the last chapter, he talked about gifts, the endowment of gifts upon God's people that the Holy Spirit brings to them. Chapter 12 goes into chapter 13, which is that critical thing that was missing, agape. And then chapter 14, the very next chapter, is how to make that gift that you have powerful. So that it's not a weakling kind of power. It's an effective power. Three chapters on the gifts, 12, 13, and 14. We're in the middle one, and you can't have any of this stuff without that one in front of the sixth seal. Would you pray with me?